We're back, episode 2 of Life of Pi podcast, and I'm your host, Sean Taylor, and with me is my accompanist in life and also in the show, Robin Rothman.
Hello.
Robin, I want you to help me tell the listeners what we are going to do differently now, at least for this episode, maybe even for every episode beyond.
We've decided to do it in the style of a pizza. So essentially, yeah. We start out with the crust, which is the foundation or introduction to the podcast.
Like what we're doing,
now. So this is the crust. And then we're going to go to the sauce, which is the interview portion of the podcast. That's what everybody is.
Yeah, like the main event.
The main event, right? Uh-huh. It's also your favorite ingredient on pizza.
It is.
Sauce. You're a sauce man. And then finally, the cheese, which will be the icing on the cake or the cheese on the pizza.
Or the cheese on the cake or the icing on the pizza. Whatever
happens.
Yeah, it's going to be different every single episode.
That'll be the little bonus.
Yeah, and that's the reward that people get staying till the end.
Yeah, it'll be the toy prize in the cereal box, that kind of thing.
And, oh, by the way, the sauce today is going to be an interview with John Mongi from New Jersey.
Yep, and he's a great guy. Everybody loves John Mongi.
You know, one of the things that comes up is that conversation we had about pizza states and how, like, that hot take.
Yeah.
Remember how there was that license plate that came out last year for Connecticut that said it was the pizza state? And I have nothing
Bold
against
statement.
It. Yeah, and it's also earned in that, that pizza has been made in New Haven for, you know, over 100 years. It's it's got the history. But in general, if you're talking about the whole state, like there might be a couple of other ones, you know, some of Beats and Mystic, you know, like there's some pizza places outside like Stamford and Colony. Yeah, there's some good ones for sure.
Absolutely.
And it's not a huge state. So therefore, it is like a pizza state.
Right.
But it's not the only one. I mean, of course, New York.
Obviously is the obvious one.
Yeah. But I think
New
Jersey might be
The true pizza state,
just because it's so densely populated.
Right.
And there are great pizza places all over it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether you're in, you know, Trenton for
the tomato pie, Trenton tomato pie, which is legendary, you know.
Or they have the tavern style, like at Star Tavern or Pete Nelda's. And those are two places that are not even near each other, but they're still in New Jersey. There's some creative pies in, like, Reservoir Tavern. Oh, and let's not forget Ratza's in Jersey City.
Mm-hmm.
New York Times loves that one. I love it too. They're all so good.
And also, it's where a lot of pizzaiolis and pizzeria owners live. They reside in New Jersey, and they, you know, they may own a pizzeria in New York, but they live in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And maybe they started out in New Jersey.
Yeah. So I think it's okay to have a license plate for New Jersey that says Pizza State.
Also.
Let's get to the sauce.
Let's get to the sauce.
Yeah.
All right.
So without further ado, here is John Mongi. John Mongi is a longstanding member of the New York City improv community who's performed at and employed by Magnet and UCB. Hello, John Mongi. Thank you for joining me.
Hello, Sean Taylor. Thank you for having me.
You're also a bit of a pizza freak.
I guess, yes, I am, of course, a pizza freak.
Yeah. We talk about pizza just about all the time because we both work at Magnet. And I think pretty much before I say hello to you, I say, did you have a good slice last week, right?
It's always just like, hey, John, did you have a good slice? And then, honestly, I try to recall because I have slices all the time and it's just like second nature to me that. And they're all good, of course. But, you know, if I have anything particular to talk about, I will always try to keep it on the top of my mind when I see you.
Yeah, I feel like that's a better way to avoid small talk. It's just like, look, I want to talk to John Mongi about pizza, so let's just get into it.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yeah. We have nothing else to talk about, which isn't true.
Yeah. We might, but we just haven't gotten beyond pizza. Do you have a go-to slice recently?
Lately, because I work at the Magnet Theater, it's a couple blocks away from Pizza Suprema, and my go-to slice there is always one upside down and one either a chicken or a vegetable slice. Just two slices.
I love New York Pizza Suprema as well, and my go-to is an upside down slice and then a cheese slice.
Yes. The upside down slice is one of my favorites in that area.
It's like the only way I justify like going meatless. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like yeah. In general, like most of my meals, like whether a sandwich, burrito, whatever it is, yeah. It's all, or a burger, of course, got meat in it. Mm-hmm. But when I get pizza, I trick myself into being vegetarian for the meal.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
I mean, there's something about that slice in particular is very unctuous, satisfying. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It takes place of whatever meat craving, in my, like what you just said. To me, it's very similar. It satisfies any kind of meat craving, I suppose.
But by the
sometimes
way,
I would get a meat slice there too, because they're all very good.
Right. Oh, I do like the meat slices too. I mean, you get the chicken one, so that's one. I like their. I think they just call it the Suprema.
Yeah.
And it reminds me when I was younger, and I used to work at Pizza Hut, and we had a Pizza Supreme. That was one of the specialty pizzas, and it just had a whole bunch of different ingredients on it. And then when I eat at New York Pizza Suprema, the Suprema slice, I'm like, oh, this is what we were after.
Yeah.
But I just put tons and tons of toppings on the thing when I was making it.
Yeah.
And it was fine. But, you know, that was in general the one that the adults ordered when the kids would order the cheese.
Yeah.
And after having the New York Pizza Suprema, it's like, oh, okay, they put just the right amount of toppings on the pie. You don't have to have equal parts every single topping with every bite, which is what we used to do when we were.
I think a Supreme pizza as a kid was like a way for me to start liking vegetables. No, I definitely know that because like I was a picky eater as a child, and like it was mostly, if it was pizza, it was just cheese. Sometimes I didn't even like sauce. So like first time I tried a Suprema with either the mushrooms and peppers, I was like, oh wait, these aren't bad. I actually do like mushrooms and peppers. And so that tricked me into eating vegetables as a child.
This is a question I was hoping to get to, is yeah. What was the first pizza that you had that kind of turned you on to, hey, this is going to be a lifelong obsession here?
You know, there was a place that no longer exists in Cedar Grove, New Jersey, the town I grew up in, was Papa Tony's. And it's, the way I describe it, it's as if a guy named Tony and his wife Maria, their actual names, made the pizza. Because the pizza wasn't like perfectly round as like you got at Domino's or Pizza Hut. It just seemed as if they like made it an hour, like they made it to order for you. The sauce tasted fresher. The cheese was, sometimes there was more cheese on other days. Sometimes there was less. Sometimes it even seems like they put different cheese on their regular slice. But that was my, you know, I'll say that. That was my first memory of pizza as pizza, not just a food, because it was
Papa Tony's?
Papa Tony's in Cedar Grove, New Jersey.
Yeah. I mean, you were very lucky. I was a military brat, so I moved around quite a bit when I was younger, and I loved pizza.
Yeah.
It was my favorite food, and that was before I moved into the New York area.
Yeah.
Now, New York City has definitely provided me the most delicious pizzas I've ever had in my life, but I have a, this might be a hot take. This could be a hot take, but I think that New Jersey is the number one pizza state.
I wouldn't argue with that.
And the reason why I say it is because I know that like Connecticut has that on their license plate.
Yeah.
But in general, yeah, Connecticut does have New Haven and they're amazing pizza places in New Haven. And there's a few others like a few other Abeats places in like Derby. And, you know, there's some great other pizza places in Connecticut, but New Jersey has great pizza around the whole state.
Yeah, I mean, they have access to great tomatoes.
Yeah,
so fresh ingredients, close enough to
different styles. Yeah. Too, you know, it's got like the tomato pie, like the De Lorenzo's type tomato pie. It also has the thin tavern style.
I don't think I've ever had a tomato pie. Like, I, you know, consciously, like, when I was a kid, I probably did have pizza in Southern New Jersey and didn't realize there was a difference. Because, you know, again, as a kid, I was just pizza is pizza, and like what you just said earlier, and food is food.
Yeah.
But now I'm definitely curious to, as I think to myself, like, a tomato pie sounds like what Papa Tony's was.
It might be. I mean, if someone gave you a tomato pie, you would think it's a pizza unless they told you, oh, this is tomato pie. Like, But De Lorenzo's in Robbinsville, that's the one to go to.
I'm gonna try it someday.
Yeah, well, let's do it together.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, it's kind of a schlep. I hope they do open one a little closer to the city, but you know, that's a great version of a tomato pie. There's also those random pizza places in New Jersey. Like we went to the Reservoir Tavern.
Yeah,
that was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Seemingly in the middle of nowhere, and yeah. Like at a town that probably wouldn't be known for their pizza. I do remember that place. It was like in the, I think it was like in the woods or something like that.
Yeah,
and then there was just a bar.
And then and there's also like along the Jersey Shore. There's some places like the Sawmill, and Pete and Elda's.
Pete and Elda's.
We've bonded over Pete and Elda's because
6 shirts from there, and I need more because those shirts are already starting to fall apart.
When John Monge mentions shirts, it's because they have a whole pie club at Pete and Elda's where you get, is it an extra large or a large?
It's either, it's extra large or maybe even double extra large.
Now, I will say it's ultra thin. Like, that's their thing. Yeah. It's very thin.
It sounds intimidating, but if you're hungry enough, you can finish an extra large pie.
In 30 minutes. Yeah. And it's by yourself. And it's, you know, and if you do it, you get a t-shirt that says you're part of the whole pie club.
Yeah. And they they update their shirts every now and then. So you're motivated to go back and get more and collect them all.
And it sounds like you've got 6 of them.
Six, I believe.
And they've been doing this for like, 20, 30 years? Like, at least. Maybe. So, like, there are so many different t-shirts out there. And we're all part, everyone who's done this is part of this whole pie eater club. And as I did it, because I was like, oh, I got to try this. You know, I got to see if I can do it. And it was 30 minutes. It took me like 28 minutes. Hmm. And at the end, I was like, this is uncomfortable. Whereas I've been with other people that have done that challenge and have finished it in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, just got 20 minutes.
I have no problem. Well, had. I don't know what it's like today. I haven't done it in like over 15 years. And probably my diet hit. Well, my diet remains the same, but my ability to eat that much without feeling pain has changed. But I still think I could do it in less than 30 minutes. I feel bad because every time I've been there, they look like they have a lot of other good food and toppings. But no, my sole purpose is to get the pizza and get the shirt.
Right. The very first time I went, I didn't get, I tried other stuff.
Yeah.
But then the second time I was like, I know what I'm here for.
Yeah.
This is going to happen. And then no one else at my table did it. So they were all just like looking at me just while I was eating. And I was like trying the whole stack, you know, two of them at the same time.
Done that. Yeah.
Yeah.
At some point you go for like 2 or 3 slices at a time.
I had I was there with a friend who had a couple of kids, and one of the kids was like rooting for me. And like, I was like, okay, I definitely think I might bail on this, except this kid keeps on cheering me on.
Yeah, you can't let
him. I would not just be letting myself down. I would be letting him down.
Letting the future generations of that place down.
Yeah. So I persevered. I earned the t-shirt. I'm in the club. I haven't been alerted about any upcoming meetings for the club. And now you've been in this club many times over.
We'll go to De Lorenzo's first and then swing by to Neptune, New Jersey to get dinner.
So the whole pie club, just so if anyone's listening, it's don't expect to like have to pay dues or anything. There's no meetings. It's sort of like the Mile High Club. You know, you enter it. It's great accomplishment, but don't expect meetings. You know,
is the Mile High Club a great accomplishment? You know, sure.
Is it a great accomplishment? I mean,
it's great in the moment, I'm sure. What was on your shirt? Do you remember?
I wear it as a night shirt
every night. Yeah, no, because you get like a double XL shirt, so I've never worn my shirts in public.
Well, mine was, I think that the guy who does it kind of spoofs a lot of television animated shows, and so mine was King of the Hill.
Oh, wow.
But I think it had local people
that
like, because they were labeled, not the names of the characters.
No, they can't do that.
So they put like a different head on all the different bodies, but it is a badge of honor, and I wear it all the time. I would definitely go back to there with you and without you too.
Please.
But it's, speaking of pizza clubs,
yes,
now you are the founder of the UCB Pizza Club, is that correct?
I don't think anyone did it before me.
Yeah, that makes you the founder.
And I,
now, for people listening,
yes,
when I say UCB, I'm of course referring to the Upright Citizens Brigade. They are an improv comedy theater in New York City. Can you describe, say, like the improv community?
Well, UCB in particular is came over from Chicago and they wanted to teach. They wanted to be television stars, but in order to make money for that, they started teaching classes in New York City. And from there, like, it's a bunch of people that want to learn the art of improv and sketch comedy. At first, it was for people seemingly that wanted to do comedy, but like, I think it's more than that now. It's just for people that want to, like, either become better public speakers or just meet new people. A lot of people...
And have fun,
yeah,
too.
And like, have fun.
One of the things, the tenets of improv is to follow the fun.
Yes.
And that's something that people do. So they make you laugh. Also, follow the fear. Yeah. A lot of following.
Yeah,
and,
yeah exactly. A lot of people getting over their fear for whatever reason. Like, a lot of times when I meet people that take improv classes, it's not because they want to do comedy. It's because they just want to get out of their shell.
Mm-hmm.
They want to break up the monotony of their everyday lives.
And one of the reasons is one of the ways they do it is yes and.
Yes.
That whole theory of like, yes and, which
yeah,
is like,
your idea.
I accept it and I'm adding to it.
Which yeah. like not only helps.
So when I found out in 2002 that October was National Pizza Month, I said, oh, I'm going to eat a slice of pizza a day at a different location with at least one guest. And everyone in the community was like, yes, and I want to be a guest,
yeah.
and I have a pizza place for you to go to. So I was only just doing it to see if it was possible, and it turns out it's easily possible to eat
like there's, 31 there's days of pizza in New York City. People in the improv community
yeah.
that want to, one, talk about themselves, but also like have a lot of recommendations and what they like, especially in pizza.
So what would you do with the pizza club at UCB?
So the intent of the UCB Pizza Club was just to meet more people. So what I would do, I would order a bunch of pizza and just invite people to come hang out at the UCB Training Center and just meet people. And that's really it.
I love that club.
Yeah.
I just would look forward to it because I think you did it like Monday afternoon.
Yeah, we only did it Monday afternoon.
Yeah.
Just like at a time where like I think around 5 o'clock, you know. A lot of improvisers don't have 9-to-5 jobs. So a lot of people were already like expecting it that day. Yeah, we would just order pizza and hang out.
I just love that is a thing that just, it's this catalyst that just brings everyone together and you just have, you know, you meet up and we do bits and it was a lot of fun. I kind of hope that the pizza club comes back. I know that now you're working at Magnet.
Yeah, I could do the Magnet Pizza Club. I probably should.
I would love that. Mm-hmm. No pressure, but I would attend. Sure.
I think the UCB Pizza Club got as popular. Yeah, it was. I don't want to say popular, but it was successful because improvisers are just looking for like a reason to hang out. They like everyone likes hanging out, but like they don't like have a real reason to unless it's like to do a show or meeting up. For something like specific, like just eating pizza, because like yeah, get any group of improvisers together, and they will find something to talk about or
mm-hmm.
find pleasure in each other's company.
So, yeah, anyone listening who's not already part of the improv community, take an improv class. It's fun. I feel like if everyone were to take an improv class, the world would be a better place. You accidentally learn empathy.
Yeah, accidentally.
Yeah, and a whole lot more, and you meet a bunch of people. Now. I haven't finished all of the things that make John Mangi unique in this pizza world. You also lead pizza tours, is that correct? And what is a pizza tour? And what company?
So I worked for this company called Scott's Pizza Tours, founded by Scott Wiener. And what I would do, I would take a group of anywhere from 2 to 16 people to 3 different pizzerias, and we'd talk about the science, the history, and the culture of pizza and what makes it special and how the community impacted the pizza and how the pizza impacted the community, the science, the history, the establishments themselves.
And you eat pizza all along the way.
Yeah, we would get a slice of pizza at each place. Just a plain slice, no toppings, because the toppings kind of influence how you enjoy the pizza, especially if we were like trying to talk about like the differences between each style. My favorite place is Lou Callie's, if we're allowed to.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you have to like, you can't just go there expecting just to get a slice and go. You have to be like, all right, we'll get there at a certain time. we'll get our time and then we'll spend hours doing something else and we'll come back here.
Yeah, this is my evening plan. Yes. And it's an evening well spent. It's well spent. I absolutely love Lucali.
So yeah, if you're visiting New York, even if you're not visiting New York, if you want a delicious pizza experience, do that.
Yeah. And it's not just one of my favorites. It's also Jay-Z and Beyonce's favorite.
Sure. It's also, I told you this, but when I was there one time, John Legend, Chrissy Teigen, and Ed Sheeran were just there.
Whoa.
And another time...
Good musicians go to Lucali.
We were walking. Me and my fiance were... We live in the neighborhood. We live two blocks away from the place. And like for some reason, we were just like, let's just walk by just to see what's going on. And that's when Taylor Swift popped out in a limo.
These are all amazing recording superstars, and they love Lucali.
It's a small establishment in like a nice neighborhood of Brooklyn, but like if you just walk down the block, there's like nothing else like, you know, touristy there.
Yeah, it's not labeled outside.
It's a residential neighborhood.
The awning is just like, but there's an awning, and then there's just like, look for the line. This is one of those places. It doesn't say Lucali out front.
But I remember like just doing that before I even lived in that neighborhood. We would just go there because it was just that good.
That's probably why you moved there. Even if you didn't mean it. Yeah. It was just like and well, Carol Gardens, you're very fortunate. F&F, right?
Yeah, F&F.
I love them both. They both have won Slicies, which I know people are like, "What the heck is a Slicey?" But I mean, give out awards.
You could figure out what a Slicey is. It's pretty obvious. If it's an award called a Slicey, you could probably figure out what that means.
And if a human deserved it, it would be you, John Manji. I would give you a Slicey. So thank you so much for being my guest here on Life of Pi.
The cheese.
I love me some pecorino and grana, but Parmesan is a little overgrated, if you ask me.
You've been listening to the Life of Pi podcast with your host, Sean Taylor. Theme music composed and performed by Robin Rothman. A huge thank you to our guest, John Manji, for joining us today. To make sure you never miss a slice, please head over to lifeofpishow.com to subscribe.